have your Bibles, go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's look at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul, of course, wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he said this, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So we went into this in detail, talking about how that it's the will of God that we not be drunk with wine or alcohol, amen, but to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's a counterfeit. We can have the real thing. Amen. Praise God. You know, God's not opposed to you being drunk at all. He's just concerned about which way you go about getting it. Amen. I got drunk in the Spirit this week, and I didn't take one sip of alcohol. But I'm telling you what, it's a crazy thing when you're laughing and crying at the same time. You know, it's a wonderful thing to experience His presence like that. I never grew up experiencing that, praise God. But you can get so full of God that joy just bubbles up over you, praise God. I mean, like the Scripture says, my cup runneth over. And that's the way that we're lit to live our lives. Now, He says that we're not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, notice the characteristics here. I want to just quickly go through this here, but this is evidence of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, that's literally filled with the Spirit. It says they speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Now, notice the word speaking and singing. Now, that has to do with the mouth, doesn't it? And thirdly, giving thanks in verse 20. So we have speaking, we have singing, we have giving thanks. And number 21, verse 20, submitting. Praise God. That's not a bad word, is it? We're to submit to God. That's a great thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. So all these characteristics are connected to those men and women, boys and girls, that are filled with the Spirit. They're speaking, they're singing, hallelujah, they're giving thanks. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you just give thanks. You give thanks, praise God. Now, complaining is the opposite of giving thanks. Amen? Did you ever have to rebuke yourself for complaining? Yeah. I'm telling you. I had to rebuke myself this week. I started complaining about some things, and I thought, no, we're not going there. I'm down here to receive from the Lord. But all it takes is a couple of little things to come up, you know, and you start, wait a minute, I'm complaining about this, and I should be thankful right now. Amen? So when we're filled with the Spirit, it completely annihilates a complaining spirit. The Bible says that the Israelites would grumble and they would complain and they would remain in the wilderness as long as they did that. So we certainly don't want to do that. I don't want to grumble and complain, and I don't want to stay in the wilderness. I want to go into the promised land, praise God. So we looked at great detail about this. And let's go to Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 16, we're talking about staying filled with God, staying filled with His Word, and staying filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. This is not a difficult thing. If it was, nobody could do it. But I'm telling you, a child can do this. Amen. How many want to be supercharged today? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You might have dragged yourself in here, but you're not going to drag yourself out of here. You're going to walk out of here with your head high, your shoulders back, and with new strength and vision and victory inside of your heart. Amen? Now notice in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. Not poorly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, even today, those songs that we sang were given under inspiration of God. Somebody wrote those, okay? I didn't write those, but somebody else wrote those songs. And they were inspired of God. And you can be singing the Scriptures, and the Word still gets on the inside of you. You can sing the Word. Did you know that? And many of the songs that we sing are based, it startled me years ago when I was a new Christian that we would sing songs and all of a sudden I'd be reading my Bible and said, that sounds like the song we just sang in church. I didn't even realize it was a scripture. And so that's a good way to memorize scripture is to sing the Word of God. But he says that we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us what? Richly in all wisdom. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I'm kind of just recapping some of the things that we shared here as we conclude this today. But I want to talk about today about staying full of the Word of God. Staying full. How important is it that we stay full of the Word of God? Well, it's essential. It's essential that you and I stay full of the Word of God. We are responsible to feed ourselves the Word of God. Amen. It's like the saying you've heard, you know, you can take a horse to a watering trough, but you can't make a horse drink. And God has provided nourishment for us. See, everything that God creates needs nourishment. Your body needs nourishment. Your mind needs nourishment. Your spirit needs nourishment. It needs food. Okay? So with that thought in mind, look at Matthew 4, verse 1. And let's take a look at this. And it says that when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Notice the phrase, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, now we went into detail about this before, but I saw some things in here as I was meditating on this week. Is that Jesus, according to Colossians 3:16 that we just read, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the Word of Christ has to be where? It's got to be inside of us. It's got to be inside of us. Amen? And when the devil, Satan, came to Jesus, personally came to Jesus and brought a valid temptation to him, okay, Jesus opened his mouth and quoted a scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. Are you with me? So, when the tempter came to him, and brought him that temptation, Jesus had to have something in him already in order to combat the devil or the tempter when he came to him. Well, if Jesus was that way, how much do you and I, how much more do we have to be that way? Amen? You know, that's the thing. You can be going along and reading the scripture, reading a chapter a day or whatever, reading a verse or two, and it may seem for a minute, it may seem as if it's not doing anything to you. It may seem as though it's not profiting you. But there will come a time when temptation will come at you. That's not a prophecy. That's just a fact. Okay? That you have to have Scripture sufficient enough on the inside of you to stand up against the enemy in awful combat and use the Scripture just like Jesus did. Amen? Now, Jesus didn't do this in order to show deity and how deity operates. Notice he didn't say, you know, don't try this at home. This is only for the Godhead. Amen? Jesus did this to show us how we are to deal with the devil when he comes against us. Amen? He said, well, Brother Keith, what are you talking about? The devil never appeared to me. No, but you've had thoughts. You've had negative thoughts. You've had bad thoughts. Negative thoughts. You're not going to make it. You're going to run out of money. Huh? That person doesn't like you, this thing and the other thing, you know. And that's the enemy. And you know, you may not see him. I've never seen the devil. I've seen a demon once before. Okay, we'll talk about that some other time. But those demons and those devils are extremely afraid of the Word of God. That is that the Bible says we're to resist him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in our mouth. Hallelujah. Now, Satan's a spirit, and you have to fight him with spiritual weapons. You can't fight him in the natural. You can't pull out a gun or a knife, as I've talked about before. That will do nothing because he's a spiritual being. But I'm telling you how you can do some serious damage on the devil is by putting the Word of God in your mouth, quoting it out of your mouth, and I'm telling you, he will flee from you. Now, the Scripture teaches us, and I'll just mention it in the book of James, that we are to submit ourselves to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Hallelujah. See, we do an injustice when we say, just resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, you got to take the whole verse. Submit to God. How do you do that? You submit to the Word of God. Then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. Amen. I mean, you can pull a karate move on him. Amen. And with the Word of the living God. And you speak that Word of God. Now, some of you need to hear this morning because you haven't been resisting the devil lately. Amen. You just get tired. You get weary. And you get tired. And then you quit speaking the Word of God. That's the worst place we can possibly be in. We must learn to open our mouth and to let the Word of God come out and speak. You got a need that comes up in your life. What are you saying? What are you saying? Man, we don't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. You know what I'm saying? Is that what we're saying? Or are we saying, it is written, my God, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You mean to tell me that one of those scriptures can make the devil flee? Absolutely. Ask me how I know. Amen. And God has given you and me the privilege and the right to rise up and to speak the Word of God. Oh yeah, pressure's going to try to come. It comes to me. It comes to you. It comes to all of us. Pressure to not believe what God says. Hallelujah. But in the end result, what are we going to do when pressure comes against us? We have to learn to take that word, get it on the inside of us, and speak it out of our mouths. Amen? How many of you here have ever been tempted to be discouraged before? I mean, you're praying about something, you know, and it looks like nothing's happening. You know, you're praying for that loved one, you're praying for that financial breakthrough or whatever the case is, and it looks like nothing's happening from the natural. You're looking, you know. And that's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the Word of God and not by physical sight. Because God is working in the invisible realm, but it will show up in the visible realm. And that's why we can't be moved by what we see. Praise God. You see, a real faith man or a faith woman is not moved by what they hear or what they see. Amen? We're not moved by the natural circumstances. We're not moved by what's in the bank account. We're not moved by the physical pain in our body. We're not moved by that. What are we moved by? We're moved by the Word of God. And when we take the Word of God and we say, it is written, you grit your teeth in this, and whatever you have to do, and you take that Word of God, it will come to pass in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. The biggest discourager that there is Satan. And that's, I would say primarily, that's how he operates, is a spirit of discouragement. Lack of courage. That's why God told Joshua in the Bible, he says, be of good courage, be not dismayed, be not discouraged, be of good courage. And I say to the church, us today, be of good courage. Take the Word of God. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't become weary in speaking the Word of God, believing the Word of God. Don't become weary in your giving and give up. Yes. I'm not just talking about money. That's part of it. But don't become weary. Become faithful to do what God says. He will back up what He says. Hallelujah. So Jesus used some arsenal of scriptures that He previously read. He didn't say, I know there's a verse of scripture in there somewhere. Where is that? It's too late. Amen? It's too late. It's like the guy that described, you know, he's sitting on his couch, grossly overweight, eating junk food, watching television, and then somebody breaks in And a big muscle guy breaks in. He starts taking everything in his house. And the guy can't do anything. He's helpless. Well, it's too late for him to say, you know what, I need to get some weights and I need to work out. Okay? He should have done that before the guy broke into his house. You understand what I'm saying? The point. And so if we wait to get the word when we need it, it's usually too late. But thank God for His mercy. His mercy is there for us. So I just want to bring across this thought today that Jesus Christ put the word of God. He showed us how we need to function, how we need to operate. If we don't like the place that we're at, there's some things I want to see changed in my life. There's things I want to see changed in my ministry. Amen. There's some increase. Hallelujah. And we have to put the word of God on the inside of us. If we want to increase our health, our wealth, provision for our lives, God has an abundance for us. We have to start putting the word of God on the inside of our hearts and minds. Amen. And that's sad because a lot of people today, a lot of believers today, they just want to have their ears tickled. They just want to go somewhere where they're not really getting fed. They just where they want to get entertained. Okay? Now, God's the biggest entertainer that there is. But let me tell you something. If you're just going to get entertained somewhere and just have your ears tickled and just hear fancy things, you know, and wow, you know, but you're not getting the word, that's not going to sustain you in the day, in the hour in which we live. We have to get the word of God on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, in verse 4. Then verse 5 says, the devil taketh him up to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and saith unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. All right? So here's another temptation. But this time, Jesus pulls out a different scripture out of Deuteronomy. All right? Now, you have to understand there's no New Testament written at this point. So any scripture that Jesus is going to quote had to come out of the Old Testament. Correct? Now, we can speak words out of the Old Testament. We can quote scripture out of the New Testament. I do both. Praise God. So we have another situation here where Jesus is being tempted. What does he do? He opens up his mouth and he speaks the word of God and quotes another scripture. Now, did you notice that the devil never came back with the same temptation? He had to pull another one out of his book. Now, finally, in verse 8, and the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things I will give thee if you will fall down and worship me. You know, the devil wants to be worshipped. Bless his heart. Would you please just worship me? I'll give you everything here. Now, folks, this had to be a valid temptation. Or Jesus was deceived by the devil. This was a valid temptation. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the same temptation is mentioned here, except for this. He says, for it has been delivered unto me. You know, fall down and worship me, for I will give you all these kingdoms of the world, for they have been delivered unto me. Well, how did that happen? Is that true? Yes. Because Adam, when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, turned over his dominion, his lease, and his authority to the devil. And that's when he said, it has been delivered unto me. God didn't give that to him. Adam turned it over to him. So this was a valid temptation. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. But, you know, he said another scripture here. In verse 10, he said, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, verse 11 says, the angels came, and they ministered unto him. Praise God. So we have three temptations, and on all three of these temptations, or accounts of the enemy coming at Jesus, what did Jesus do? He opened his mouth and he spoke the word of God. Amen. And evidently it was good enough because Satan departed from him and he never came back with that same temptation. Now what's interesting about this is notice the latter phrase of verse 11. It says the devil left him. Do you notice that? the devil leaveth him. Will the devil leaveth you? Will the devil leaveth me? Will he? Yes, he will. Only when we speak what God says. If we say what God says, we can have what God says. Amen? Notice that the angels came and they ministered to him. Now, there's a scripture in the book of, you don't have to turn there, but in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and it says that are they, angels, ministering spirits, are they not all sent forth to minister to them that are heirs of salvation? Do you know that? Ministering spirits have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Are y'all with me now? Did you get distracted there for a minute? Are they not all ministering spirits and angels sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation? I want to ask you a question. How many of you here have gone into a restaurant before and ordered food from a waitress or a waiter? Anybody here? Not a trick question. Okay. What happens? You go into this restaurant, you sit down. You know, it could be any restaurant, and there here comes the waitress or a waiter comes over, and they say, may I help you today? What would you like to order today? And so you look into the menu, and you say, I'd like to order this, and I'd like to order this. And so there's four or five people there at the table, and she will go around and take the orders, all right? All of a sudden, she disappears, and you don't see her. You're like, where'd she go? Well, your intelligent mind said, she just took that back to the cook who's behind the wall. I don't even see the cook. He's back. The chef is back there somewhere. You don't even see him for the most part. There's some that have open air things nowadays, but for the most part, you don't see what's going on back there. You probably wouldn't want to see it sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we pray and sanctify the food with the Word of God. You know, and but I want to, point being is that you put your order in, that waiter, that waitress takes it back to the chef. That chef prepares that food, and all of a sudden, 5 or 10 minutes later, here comes the food. She's bringing a bunch of trays out, and she starts passing out to you. All right? Now, that waitress has been sent to minister to you or to serve you. What is your job? You simply put the order in. When you put the order in, she writes it down. She takes it back there, and then a few minutes later, here comes the food. Okay? Now, angels are like that. They are ministering spirits. They are sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. I said, Pastor, that's good to know that, but how do I get them to work on my behalf? You have to give them orders. Angels, and I didn't plan on even going this direction this morning, but I feel led of the Spirit pulled in this direction here, that you have to give your angels assignments. Okay? Amen. Did you know that when you die, you don't become an angel? There's tales and things that people say, oh, she must have became an angel when she died. That little baby became an angel when he or she died. Nope, that will be a demotion. Because angels are not made in God's likeness and God's image. Okay? You'll find in the Psalms chapter 8, when man was created, they said this, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen? And he made us just a shade lower than God. That's what the Hebrew says. God made us, when God made us, he made us in his likeness and he made us in his image. He never said that about angels. Now, angels have a divine purpose and they are sent to minister, to protect you. They have been sent. Do you ever stop and think about it? How does God answer your prayers? He uses angels. Amen? I remember one particular incident. Lynn was praying with a family member, for a family member one time that wasn't walking with God. And Lynn would pray, and I remember this so vividly. She would pray, Lord, we send angels forth to minister, you know, to this particular family member. Okay? And a few short weeks or whatever it was after that, Lynn was talking to this person in her family, and they said, I keep hearing these words in my mind, follow the path of God. Follow the path of God. You know, we're like, we know where that came from. Okay? Now listen, if demons and devils,
that's right.
If demons and devils can talk to people, you know, People say things, oh, they're so influenced by the devil. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? That means they're listening to him. They're listening to him. Okay? Well, we have faith in that. We know that that's the case, that happens. We ought to have more faith in angels' ability to speak to other people that we're praying for.
Amen.
And you can actually say, Father, I'm praying for my cousin so-and-so. You can call them out by name. And Lord, I'm going to send forth angels right now to go and minister on their behalf. Right now, go, ministering spirits. Speak to them. Reveal yourself to them. That is completely, completely, totally scriptural. If you have a business and you want that business to prosper, first thing you need to do is get your tongue bridled with the Word of God. And don't be moved by the circumstance. Don't be moved by what you see or what you hear or what the economy is. Don't be moved by that. Start using your words to bring in new customers, new business, new accounts. Okay? Are you with me now? And you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I call in new customers right now. Angels, go and cause them to come my way. The right kind of customers. Not just customers, but the right kind.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? That's go, ministering spirits. I dispatch you right now in Jesus' name. You know, it may seem foreign at first. It may seem really odd. And you might feel like you're treading on holy ground. Well, you are, but you're allowed there. Mm-hmm. It may feel like, I don't know if I belong here or not. This seems kind of like, am I telling angels what to do? Yeah. Yeah, because angels respond to the Word of God. They came and ministered to Jesus after he quoted some what? Some scripture. After he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And guess what? The angel said, I got something to work with here. Amen? Now you get a carpenter. A carpenter has tools. All right? And without those tools, they are virtually helpless to do anything. You have a plumber. A plumber has certain tools to work with. All right? Jesus was a carpenter. And with a carpenter, you have certain tools for the trade. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? What are the tools of the trade that we have in our arsenal for angels to work with? We have to give them something to work with. Well, you'll find in the book of Daniel, thank you, Holy Spirit, Daniel was praying. And he was praying about some things. And you remember what happened is the angel came to him after 21 days, I think it was. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the angel responded, I think it was Gabriel, said this, I have come for thy words. He said, I've come for thy words. Interesting. And he told Daniel, said, the very first day that you prayed, I was sent. But the prince of the power of the air withstood me. Okay. Now, Daniel didn't have the name of Jesus. Okay. That's old covenant. We do. All right. We have a better covenant. Praise God. But the point I want to make is this, is when the angel showed up, he said, I've come for thy words. I've come for thy words. That must mean that we have to give the Lord some words to work with. Praise God. So today is our day to realize the revelation of loading up our arsenal. Listen, you can just know one scripture.
Yeah, true.
Two's even better. But you can take a scripture, one or two, and just put it in your heart where the fact that you can memorize it, speak it out of your just automatically speak it out. Amen?
Yeah.
By his stripes, I am healed. Bless the Lord. The devil might try to come. Amen? Now, God never did say that we wouldn't go through stuff. He never said that we wouldn't experience things in this life. But here's what we have to look at. Did we come through it? Did we come out on the other side?
Amen.
Did we overcome it?
Yes.
Yes, you're still there. The devil could have took you out. Amen? But he didn't. You're still here. You're breathing. Hallelujah. And you still have a future.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And so, when we give the Lord something to work with, words to work with, we can rest assured that we can wake up in the morning and we know that God is ordering our footsteps because of giving the angels some assignments here. Amen? Praise God. So what did Jesus do? He used the Word of God. So this was not written just to show us this is Jesus, his ministry, you know, this is how he operated. He was actually teaching and showing us how that we are to function and how we are to operate. Amen. Are you with me now? I remember back several years ago, I had an experience that was very alarming to me at the time. But it showed me something about the power of God. Some of you might have heard this before. You're going to hear it again. But in 1989, I took, Lynn and I, we had, this is before we had any children, we went down to Kenneth Hagin's Winter Bible Seminars in the month of February, okay? And we drove from Pennsylvania all the way down there in our little tiny car. And, but, you know, prior to, now, her brother had actually lived at that time in Oklahoma City, which was about 2 hours south of Tulsa, okay? So we thought, we'll go down a couple of days early. We'll go down and we'll visit he and his wife, you know, just spend a little time with them. Then we'll drive back over to Tulsa for the meeting, okay? So that's what we did. We went down there and saw their place, their apartments that they lived in for the very first time. Hadn't seen them in a while. And so I was pretty physically exhausted just from driving that far. Thank God for airplanes. Amen. And you drive 25 hours, you're like, I'm ready to just relax for a while, you know. So I was pretty tired. So we're in their place. It's the first day we're there, and we're fellowshipping. We're talking with them in the kitchen. They're believers, all right. They're Baptist believers, you know. And so I asked them, I said, now they let us use their bedroom. So I said, do you mind if I go in and lay down for a little bit? Now, this is back in the day when water beds were real popular. I don't even know if they're still around or not. I don't know. I thought, this is pretty cool. I get to try out a water bed. So I walk in there, and Lynn just stayed out in the kitchen. I could hear them talking out there. She's out there talking to them, fellowshipping with them. And so I go in, and I was only in there maybe 4 or 5 minutes, something like that, you know. And I just laid back on nothing. I thought, oh, this thing feels great, you know. And this bed, behind the bed, had these, what would you call them, like,
shelves.
Like, yeah. Real heavy word there, you know. Shelving. And they had, like, different stuff, books and, like, different stuff that was in there. It was a really big bed, by the way. It was like a king-size bed. And I'm laying there, I'm like, wow, this is great, you know. And I'm, like I said, I'm only in there a couple of minutes, and I just lay my head back like this. And as soon as I laid my head back, now, we're in an apartment, okay? They're on the bottom floor. There's apartments on there's a first floor and there's a second floor. There's several different buildings in this complex. It all belongs to the same, you know, apartment complex. And so I'm on the first floor, and I lay my head back, and within a couple of minutes, I hadn't fallen asleep. All of a sudden, I heard this voice speaking from right behind me. I mean, like it was right behind my bed, right my head. And I thought, wow, this is really unusual. I thought I was the only one in here. It was a female voice. Scared the tar out of me for a second, because, I mean, startled me. Because I didn't expect, I thought, what in the... Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, what did it say? I don't know. I was too scared. And I'm, you know, I mean, I didn't expect it. It startled the daylights out of me. You know what I mean? I thought, what in the world? And this voice kept talking, okay? And I'm telling you, the hair on the back of my neck was sticking up. And I was literally frozen like this. I felt like literally frozen with fear, like, what in the world is going on? I knew I was the only one in there. And so, you know, thoughts like machine guns or just bullets are just coming at my head like, what in the world is this, you know? Well, now this was only on for a couple of minutes, but it felt like a half an hour, okay? As this voice kept talking, almost like a megaphone that was behind my head, this really loud voice, you know? My spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives, rose up on the inside of me. And I heard it. It was not with these ears, but inside me, I heard God's voice inside me say, you better do something about that. And I laid, what did I do? Nothing. I laid there frozen like this. I was just, what is going on here? I didn't expect this. That voice kept talking. And he said again, the same thing. The Spirit of God spoke up inside me, said, you better do something about that. What did I do? Nothing. I just lay there paralyzed with fear in this situation here, you know. Listen, I'm in the ministry. I'm preaching the gospel, and this thing happened to me, you know. And You say, well, why don't you just rebuke it? Well, let it happen to you and see what you do. Okay? I know what I would do in that situation. Well, the third time the Lord said the same thing to me, but a little more authoritative. He said, you better do something about that. You know, he's talking to me. So that made me realize, uh-oh, Brother Keith has to do something about this. And the whole time this is going on, I still hear this massive voice behind my head talking. Now, the devil and demons can imitate people. Okay? You know, you've heard of people having, like, seances and stuff, and they say, Uncle Charlie came and visited us tonight. He's been dead for 25 years. It even sounded like him. George Washington showed up in my room. Abraham Lincoln. What's the deal with that? Now, the Bible talks about familiar spirits. What is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit, they've been around. See, they've been around since Jesus' time. And they study people. They can imitate people to deceive people, thinking, Uncle Charlie showed up in my room. And he talked to me for 30 minutes. What is that? Is that Uncle Charlie? No. That is a demon spirit imitating somebody else. Okay? I don't have time to go into detail about that. So that third time, the Lord said, more authoritative inside my heart, he said, you better do something about this. So I'll tell you what I did. I was laying on my back. I got up on my elbow like this. I just took everything within me to get up, to lean up like this. And I said this, and I'm still trembling after this is still going on. And I said, in the name, and as soon as I said name, I didn't even say Jesus yet. I said, in the name, that voice instantly stopped. Instantly stopped. To my utter amazement, it instantly stopped, and it left. And it left. And I laid my head back down, and I thought, whoa, what just happened here? You know, but I had a word of knowledge instantly. Now, I don't know how I knew it, but I knew it inside me that I knew that evil spirit that came to mess with me had to have come from the person above me. Okay. Now, I didn't know it any other way than by the word of knowledge. I just knew, I knew that spirit, because spirits can walk through walls. You know that. Okay. And they don't need to knock on the door and come in. They can just walk through, okay? And but I knew in my spirit that situation happened because of what was going on upstairs, all right? I just knew it. Well, I couldn't sleep after that. So I got up and I walked out to the kitchen. Now, you have to be careful what you say because, you know, Lynn's family members, they're Christians, but they don't understand a lot of these things. You understand? Yeah. Might freak them out. So I walked out there softly, and I began to just sit down and listen to them. And I asked Lynn's brother, I said, by the way, can I ask you a question? I said, do you know anything about these people that live upstairs of you? And immediately he said, oh, God, they're into some weird stuff up there, you know. Mm-hmm. And he went on to talk about it, you know. And I said, okay, I appreciate that, you know. And I didn't tell him what happened, you know, because I didn't want to freak. They're the ones that are living there, you know. You know what I mean? No, I wasn't even going to share this morning. I really wasn't. But I mean, this is in the month of February, 1989, in the middle of the winter time, and I'm telling you, I'll never forget that experience. You know. But here's what the Lord showed me after that happened, because then I had time to calm down and think about it. You know, and man, that thing was terrifying in the natural. I just didn't expect that to happen, you know. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I was just sharing this with my mother recently. We lived in this city. We lived in the deep city, you know, and then we moved to the suburbs. But when I was about 6 or 7 years old, we lived in this house in the city. It was an old rented house, you know. And so that's what came back to my mind is, one night, I'm up there, and my sister and I, she was just a baby at the time. I was about 6 years old, and laid us down and to go to sleep. And I heard something in the room, and I looked up, and I had a dresser that was at the end of my bed, my own dresser, where I put my stuff. And there was a, about this big, there was a monkey-like creature that was sitting on the top of the, my dresser. Ugliest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And see, I'm 6-7 years old, so naturally you're like freaked out, you know? And it was the ugliest. I mean, I say monkey-like creature. It wasn't a monkey, but it was. I didn't know about demons or devils, or I didn't know about that, you know. Just the boogeyman, you know what I mean? Under your bed, you know. Well, needless to say, I was pretty freaked out by that. I was shrieking with fear. And I took off running, man. I got to get out of this bedroom. I mean, I ran out. And praise God, my mom and dad were walking up the steps. Our bedrooms were upstairs. And they walked up the steps, you know, and they were getting ready to retire for the night, you know. And I went and I dove into my dad's lap, you know. I was just a little kid, you know, and I just was crying and screaming and everything. I thought, please let me sleep with you tonight. You know what I mean? Now, why are you saying all that? Because that was the closest thing to that I can remember that ever happened. Now, back in those days, I didn't even understand that there was such a thing as the devil and demons. I didn't know that. But I don't know what happened in that house prior to that, but there was obviously some things that took place there from the people that lived there prior to us. And the good thing is we have authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus. And I'll share another story with you in a second here. But my point being is this, is when that happened in Oklahoma, once I got up on my elbow, I said, in the name, and as soon as I said the name, instantly that voice stopped. Okay? And when I thought about it, I thought, wow, how quickly the enemy responded to the word of God in the name of Jesus. It was like he tucked his tail between his legs and he took off out of there. Amen? Well, I mean, it was during that time that I was going to Bible school too, and I started to learn some things. It was after Bible school, but I learned some things about the power and the name of Jesus and the Word of God and the arsenal that you and I have. Every one of you in this room has enough power in you through the Word of God to resist the devil, and he will flee from you in every circumstance, every single time. Amen? Now, it doesn't have to be something like that where you hear this voice or something like that. But you can have circumstances in your life that are stealing your peace and stealing your joy. The Scripture tells us in John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the purpose of the devil. That's his threefold purpose, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Amen? The devil tried to take me out twice, with a stroke and with a heart attack. But he didn't do it. And he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Amen? I'm coming up higher than I've ever been. Amen? Jerry Seville just talked at the meeting about how the devil tried to take him out with a stroke while he was preaching. And he said, you know what it made him? It made him bump him up even higher. He said, how dare you mess with my body? Amen? He said, now he's eating better. He feels better. He's stronger spiritually, stronger physically. Amen? Praise God. He said, how dare the devil mess with us? Amen? We're not going to let him. We're not going to let him. Amen? We're not going to let him mess with us, praise God. We have a plan. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And he has a mission for us. And we're going to complete that thing. Amen. And we're all going to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. Blessed be the Lord. So, we're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Amen? Let's go to one more scripture here and we'll close for today. In Proverbs 4. And we'll close on this today. In Proverbs chapter 4. I can just see it. I can just envision you guys this week. Some of you have been dealing with some discouragement in your life. I just know it. It's like, God, when's it going to happen? And you know what God is saying? Put some scripture in your mouth and start saying every morning. You get up and you start saying just a couple of verses. You don't have to speak for 30 minutes. You can speak a couple of verses that deal with your circumstance, deal with your situation. And you speak that. It is written, da-da-da-da-da. And you speak that, and you speak the Word of God. And the devil has to run and flee from you. And also, the angels will be dispatched and minister to you. Praise God. Do you know they can bring you money? Angels can bring you money. I'm telling you, they can bring you business. They can bring you money. They can bring you things that you never dreamed of. Praise God. I say, where did that come from? Angels. Hallelujah. So this, we're going to close with this today because we're out of time here. But in Proverbs chapter 4, this talks about the importance of keeping the Word of God in our eyes and in our ears. How do you put the Word of God in your heart? You put it in your eye gate, and you put it in your ear gate. Then it goes down inside your heart. Okay? And I'll show you this right here. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words." What does that word attend mean? It means to put first. Put first. Somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, you want to go get a cup of coffee somewhere after the service?" "Well, I'd love to, but I got some other business I have to attend to." It's not that you don't want to go out with them in fellowship. It's just that I got some other things that are more important right now. So the word attend means to put first. "My son, attend," or "put first my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings." Say, everybody say the word ear.
Ear.
Okay. One of the doorways into your spirit, one of them is through your ear gate. Okay. Now verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thy" what? "Eyes." So in verse 20, you have ears. Verse 21, you have eyes. In verse 21, he says, "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." That's my words. Notice he says, verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh." Praise God. That means your toes, your fingers, your elbows, your brain, your sinus system, your lungs, your cardiovascular system, your eyeballs, your ears, your mouth, your teeth. His word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, it's interesting, the word health right there, if you have in your margin of your Bible, it says medicine. Yeah. Anybody have a Bible that says medicine? Okay. So the Word of God is life to those that find them and medicine to all of their flesh. Praise God. There's different, you know, in the medical field, you know, they've got different drugs that target different areas in your body to help you. You know what I mean? But there's not like one pill that covers every area in your life. You know what I'm saying? There's not like one pill you can take that says, you know, that'll cover your heart, your lungs, your feet, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the Word of God says it's medicine to how much of your flesh? All of your flesh. All of your flesh. Next Sunday morning, when we share the Word of God about divine healing and divine health, that word is like it's like taking your medicine. Now, we don't have to wait to get sick to get healed. God will heal us. But we can get to the place where we can start walking in divine health. Amen? So he says, "My words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence." And that's the last verse in verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," or the forces of life. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning because your eyes are important. Your ears are important. And what you put in your eyes and what you put in your ears, we just don't have time this morning, but there's a host of other scriptures that bear this out about how that the doorway to your, how do you keep your heart with all diligence? Well, you guard what you see and you guard what you hear. Okay? If we meditate on the worldly stuff, on the magazines, on the newspapers, the news media, if we just meditate on that all the time, we're going to be full of fear and unbelief. Okay? Nowadays, you know, you can search, you can Google anything, and you go on there and you say, "Dear God, look at that. I had these symptoms." This, you know what I'm saying? And it's usually bad news. It's usually bad news. You get a scratch in your back and you look it up and it says, "You're going to die of this thing." You know what I'm saying? It'll tell you anything that you want to hear. So we have to guard. We have to guard what we see and what we hear. "Oh, Pastor, does that mean I have to be selective?" Yes, if you want to walk in the God's best, we have to be selective. Okay? Praise God. And we certainly should reject certain knowledge that comes at us. Amen? You know, when Sister Bucketmouth comes at you and she's so full of fear, she might even be a believer, but she comes at you and says, "Oh, my uncle had," I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and they said, "My uncle had that, and he died from that." I'm talking personally. I've had so many people, "Oh, yeah, my sister had that, and she died standing up in the grocery line." I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what. And I said, "I rebuke that." And I didn't tell them that. I didn't tell them that. Use politeness and stuff. But in myself, I'm like, "You shut up in Jesus' name. I don't believe a word you just said." Amen? Because I can choose, you know, and don't let any person, you know, prophesy over you your doom and gloom. You know, I don't care if they have a PhD, you know, tagged onto their name. Don't let anybody prophesy this is going to happen to you. You be the one in authority in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did you learn something today? Praise the Lord.